So today, I wanted first to look a little at effort, and then I want to introduce listening meditation. So in the Zen tradition, they talk about effortless effort, an effort which is without effort. So it seems a little strange. You know, I'm supposed to sit in meditation trying without trying. And generally the image is to see that sometimes we try too hard and sometimes we don't try enough. And so it's finding the balance being trying too hard and trying too little. And that's what they call it, effortless effort. Effort without effort. So let's look at too much effort. And the problem with if we try too hard is that again we tense up. We become a little tense, and then it's really not helpful. And then if we don't try hard enough, then we like there is no energy. So we need some energy to give some movement, some brightness, and then at the same time not too much energy, otherwise we become tense and agitated. And so then it depends. Like if you feel very sleepy, it's good to try to bring more energy. But if you feel too agitated, then it's good to bring the calm element. And so I think it's very important to see that we can also play with the two elements of concentration, which generally help with calm, and looking deeply, which generally helps with energy. And so to see if we are a little too much energy, agitated, then we can bring more concentration. If we feel too calm, then we can bring a little more brightness, a little more inquiry. And they say that when we sit in meditation, we try to be tuning ourselves like a guitar. So when you have a guitar and you try to tune it, you turn the chords. And then if you turn them too tight, they're going to break. If you turn them too loose, the sound is not going to be good. So you're just trying to tighten the string just so that the music, the sound, will be good. So we're trying to do the same here. When we sit in meditation, we're trying to work with these two elements of calmness and brightness. And so we're kind of trying to see, I bring a little more of this now, a little more of that now. The other thing to look in terms of effort is that often we're looking at the effort when actually we're looking at the effect of the effort. So if we try something, if we don't get the result, the effect we want, then we think, I did not try hard enough. And often that's what you'll say, oh, you don't try hard enough because you don't get the result. But I think we have to see there is a little difference. You could try really hard, and for whatever reason, you might not get the effect, you might not get the result, but it doesn't mean you did not try hard. And so we must be careful not to measure, calculate the effort by the result of the effort. That's another thing we have to be careful, because sometimes we think, I must try hard enough, I must push myself more. When sometimes it might be good actually to push less. So kind of looking at effort in that way. When I practiced long ago in Korea, we used to sit long hours, 10 hours a day. We used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, We used to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, and then we used to sit 50 minutes, 5-0, and then we used to walk 10 minutes. And then we did this through the day, 10 times. And then when my friend of mine came, they decided to do an even harder schedule. And then you only slept 4 hours, and you sat for 12 or 14 hours. And my friend found it really, really difficult. But there was one teacher, one master in Korea, which actually would oblige people to sit for just 8 hours every day. And so then what happened is that then the monks would think, no, we need to sit more than 8 hours. And so when he did not look, they would sit more. And then he would look for them. And he would stop them. And he would say, I want you to sit 8 hours, but during these 8 hours, I want you to be really there, really bright, really awake. I don't want you to sit 10 or 12 hours and then half of the time you're sleeping on your cushion. For the Korean, they can sleep on their cushion, they're fantastic. For hours. So it was very clear. You know, you can try hard, but in what condition are you trying hard? So I think it's kind of to see. We have that's why we have here what I would call a medium range schedule. And then what can I do within that time? What does it mean for me to cultivate effortless effort within my own condition? Then I wanted to suggest that we try to do listening meditation today. I am also aware there are very little sounds here. Apart from the people who move a little bit and cough a little bit, there is not much going on. You don't hear birds, you don't eat. I had great hopes for the cars on the road, but we don't really hear them. So there is a really good system of window. So there is not much to hear, but still I think this is a very good meditation. I think this is a really important meditation. So what I would suggest is we try to do the listening meditation, but possibly we can combine it with the breath. So if you're comfortable doing the breath, then you can start with the breath, and then when you hear sound, just being with the sound. And then when the sound goes, then you can come back to the breath. If you like to do listening meditation, even if there are not many sounds, you can also do that. I do that a lot. And then you can just listen to the silence. And then when the sound happens, you're more aware of that. Then when it goes, you're just listening, aware of the silence. And the reason I think this is a good meditation is because often we associate meditation with just being aware of ourselves, of just what is inside ourselves. But I think meditation is also being aware as much of what is outside of ourselves. So it kind of, again, like the breath helps us to be calm, the awareness of the body helps us to be more grounded, and the meditation, the awareness of the sounds, helps us to be more open to the world. And that's why I think it can be a very useful meditation. It also helps us to cultivate being receptive, being in the receiving, receptive to what arises. So when you do the listening meditation, we're not trying to do an analysis of the sound. We're not trying to analyze the sound. Also, we're not trying to make a list of every single sound we heard today. You're not going to get a little gold medal because you heard more than other people. Also, we're not trying to hear every single sound in every single moment. I mean, sitting here it's very easy because there are so few. But what will be very interesting will be to do the listening meditation when you walk. And then when you walk, playing with the foreground and the background. So you can start in the foreground, the anchor can be the body. And then you can put the body in the background and then you bring the sound in the foreground. And then back to the body. So you can in a way get complement between the body and the sound when you walk. So when we listen to sounds, we actually, the one of the things we play with on a retreat is trying not to name them. So we perceive them, so generally we know what they are, because perception is immediate. Coughing, moving, bird, car, bumping. So we know the sound, generally because we have this ability to perceive, it's a function. But often, we kind of go into the naming, and then we go into the commenting, the liking, and then you have associated story around it. Here, you try to be more with the sound as it appears, as it arises. If you know what it is, then you will know car, birds, etc. And if you don't know, it's even better. Because then you can see how much you want to know. And you wonder, is it this, is it that? Once I was doing a retreat, and there was a strange sound. So we would sit, and then you would hear, and you had no idea, you know, was it a mice, was it a pie, we have no idea. And so it was very interesting to be with the sound, because then you really did not know, so you were just with the sound itself, and not going into the naming, etc. So when we do the listening meditation, you can be more focused on the sound which appears, like a loud sound, and so you kind of focus more on loud sound, what you can hear. Or you can focus on the space in which the sounds happen. That's for you to see how it works. Or here, of course, we can focus and listen to the silence, which a lot of it. Then the next thing with the sound is that you can notice that they come, they arise, you hear a sound, and then generally it goes. Another sound come up, and then it stops. And then that way it's very easy to be aware of change. And then maybe more outside, if you hear a sound which continues, you can go inside the sound and be aware that it changes within itself. It's generally not exactly the same. Another thing with the sound is that it helps us to be with what is unpredictable. Because we don't know when somebody is going to cough, or somebody is going to move, or somebody outside is going to close a door. So in a way, by doing that, we're more in a more receptive mood. One thing is, if you have a ringing in the ears, which is called in English tinnitus, and I don't know if you have, you know, in same word in Finnish, okay? So if you have this sound in the ear, I would not recommend to do the meditation, listening meditation in the room because it's too silent. And then the only thing you will hear will be the ringing in the ears, which might make it more intense. Then it's better to do the breath or to do awareness of the body. But outside, then it could be fun to do the listening meditation. So just be careful of that.